Joining me in studio, Danny Joffe, head of Hollard Legal. What is this? Good morning.
Good morning, Howard. How are you doing? And good morning to your listeners. Hope everybody's well.
Yeah, well, we are. We're a little shell-shocked, not even by SAA, but about the new mayor and all sorts of things going. We're meant to be winding down in December. Yeah. And now there's so much going on. Right. Tell us what it means when an insurance company like Hollard says, we're not standing by this.
So this goes directly to our travel insurance cover. So the travel insurance cover, which Hollard sell and many other insurers sell, basically says if you're going to go overseas and you take out the travel insurance, you get cover for cancellation, you get cover for something that goes wrong, there's medical cover. It's a whole sort of suite of cover that you get when you travel overseas. The travel insurance doesn't apply for local. So one of your big risks is the cancellation cover. So if you book to go overseas and the day before you go, you break your leg, obviously, and then you can't travel, so the travel insurance kicks in.
Right.
But another, what's becoming a more relevant risk in South Africa, is if the airline doesn't fly for whatever reason. So we saw it already 2 weeks ago when the strike with SAA started. People's flights just got summarily cancelled, but the overseas flights only was about a day or two.
Mm.
So if you booked your ticket before the strike started, then the cancellation cover would have paid out. There wouldn't have been any issue there. But now we've got this issue of it also covers financial failure of the airline. So if the airline goes into liquidation or for financial reasons can't fly, so it'll be cancelled and you'll have your cancellation cover like any other cancellation cover. Of course, it's cancellation for any reason. It's quite a broad definition. So like all good insurance companies, Hollard must look at its risk and underwrite the risk appropriately. And the risk for SAA now for financial reasons to start cancelling flights has become too great for us to bear. And not the only insurer. Other insurers have done exactly the same thing. It's not a risk which, from an insurance point of view, we want to cover. So effectively, if you did book a new policy, if you booked an old policy, you had the
I was just going to say, if I booked this trip in July and I took that cover, then I'll still be covered.
No, so effectively, we're taking all of our conditions from now. So if you book a new travel insurance policy now, your terms and conditions basically won't give you cover for financial failure for South African Airways. So
The last, I think it was last week or it was obviously during the strike where these announcements were made, and one of the major agencies, I think it was Flight Center, said they are no longer selling SAA tickets because they can't get the cover. Whereas, of course, SAA is to blame for its own situation. Do you think that this has had an impact on the situation that SAA is now in?
I don't think so. Number, I also don't think that the travel agent made the decision not to sell SAA because of the travel insurance only. I think also they were getting some brand damage when they booked tickets for you, specifically they're cheap tickets, and then the flight gets cancelled.
So
it's obviously an easy scapegoat to the insurance side. But I would imagine so. If people have a choice of either flying SAA or flying another airline, and the one you can get travel insurance for financial failure and the other one you can't, and really everything else is equal, I would imagine they'll make the decision, well, why must I go in the more restricted cover? You know, so, I mean, I would imagine the impact compared to the other issues that they got is fairly negligible though.
So, what does this mean now? So now SAA is in business rescue. Effectively, it means from an insurance perspective, you say, well, we just wash our hands of that as a company.
So it's not just So if you went on SAA and your bag got stolen, that of course we would cover. So it's not no cover regarding to SAA. It's only financial failure if your trip got cancelled as a result of financial failure of SAA.
Right.
So SAA saying we don't have any more money, so we're going to just cut this route because there's a financial failure. We won't cover you for cancellation.
So it's only for the cancellation.
Only the cancellation.
So if I still made the decision to book SAA and to fly somewhere in January or in December, and I lose my bag, and I take insurance, travel insurance with you, then I'm still covered.
100%, yeah. Or if you got sick on your trip or anything, I don't want people to panic. So that's an important thing.
Yes, it is important.
It's purely for financial failure. And I think you probably get pretty good warning of it. I think if SAA starts saying for financial reasons we're not going to be flying any longer,
I don't know. I'm not sure. Traditionally, the airlines haven't given much warning. You know, we've seen this. Yeah, look what happened in the UK, where thousands of people were stranded
all
around the world.
That was for strikes.
No. That was when Thomson's travel went insolvent.
So.
People were stranded all around the world.
So
very often we don't get, unfortunately, or we choose to ignore it because we say, I booked for this holiday, I paid for it. I'm going. I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah. You know, you get to Malaga and then you can't get home.
Yeah. And also if they go into liquidation, the liquidator stops all payments going out. So you don't, you're not going to get compensation through them.
Sure.
That you can be sure of. So if you don't have the travel insurance, then you are stuck.
Right. Right. So, okay. So let's just talk about, time is 8:15. I'm chatting to Danny Joffe. If you've got a question, Danny is the head of legal at Hollard. If you have a question with regard to either specifically the SAA issue, thank you for the correction. It was Thomas Cook, not Thompson's Travel. Appreciate that. Thank you for that correction. If you have questions with regard to travel insurance in general, send us a message, 34519 or 0618951019. So this whole issue of travel insurance is very confusing. You often, if you book a ticket through one of the credit card, one of your credit card operators, it apparently comes with some kind of insurance. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's very important to understand because we've had trouble with the banks in managing this 100%. So each bank with their credit card division has chosen a particular travel insurer to insure, to give some kind of a benefit to its clients. It's not as you would imagine, because it's free, it's not going to be the best benefit that you can get, but it's going to be a benefit that they'll pass on to their clients. So for example, FNB would use a company called TIC. Mm. Discovery Card uses Hollard as its travel insurer. So basically if you book your trip or you book your ticket on your credit card, so there's an element of travel insurance that's built in there.
Right.
But the problem is that, unfortunately, you book on your credit card and that's the end of it. You don't see the terms and conditions.
Mm.
You don't really see it.
It's almost like this false sense of security.
100%. And because it's not the full product, normally you buy up to get the full product. It's pretty much a light product. So you don't get people just think, oh, well, I'm covered for anything now. I lose something, I'll be covered. I get sick there, I'll be covered.
Mm.
And so I would stress to people when they book a ticket on their credit card and don't decide to buy up, because buying up is probably the best option. But if you don't decide to buy up, then you should be very careful to check those terms and conditions. And the problem is the bank don't volunteer those terms and conditions very easily.
Mm.
So they're very good on the sales pitches to say, yes, you've got embedded travel cover. But if you go into those terms and conditions, as an example, your medical aid kicks in first before you claim on your travel for the disease and sickness and hospital-related issues. So before you can go claim on your travel cover, if you don't have a medical aid or your medical aid doesn't give you the overseas cover, then the travel kicks in straight away.
Mm.
But then even so, if you're going to spend an amount over a certain value, you've got to phone their toll-free number and get pre-authorization if you're going to go into hospital and have some procedure. If you don't do that, they'll treat that as an issue. If you have an existing condition, because it's not a medical aid, you just have the cover. But on insurance, if you're sick for whatever reason, you've had a bad cold, you go there and you get pneumonia, your travel insurance won't cover you for that medical because you've gone there with an existing condition that you haven't notified them of. And it's a issue we see over and over and over again. So if you've bought up the cover and you went onto the website and you bought the cover specifically, they would say to you, have you got any existing conditions? Tell us. And that's fine.
Right. And it covers, as far as I know, because I remember once I was in Hong Kong and, somebody managed to get hold of me to say, a South African who was traveling there had passed away. And, there was a whole issue of repatriating his body to South Africa. And the whole issue of medical insurance came out. Apparently if he had some form of cover, then that would have been covered as well.
That's right. We repatriate from overseas. We had quite a famous case last week where someone's over 70 years old, quite a well-known performer, I won't mention the name, but they bought the travel insurance, they went...
If we guess, will you say yes or no?
So they won't...
Come on, Lindy, start guessing. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, sorry.
Well-known
performer.
So
over 75.
So what happened was is that she didn't disclose her existing conditions to us, and what happens was that she actually collapsed on stage. And the first reaction, as any travel insurer would do, is if there is existing conditions, you don't tell us, they would reject the claim. But repatriation is part of the cover, and obviously, as good insurers, we look at the big picture and we look at the good of society.
And you don't want people walking in, and you don't want people walking in with a body.
No, exactly.
Because that's not good.
As another insurer.
As another, he's quick to say, as another insurer, also his name, he will not mention.
But we brought her home, and so I think we did well there.
Right. Unsigned says, I called Discovery to get my travel insurance letter, and they stipulated I was actually not covered as the flights were not returned.
So yes, one of the thing of travel insurance.
That's interesting.
One of the thing of travel insurance, you must have a return ticket from South Africa as well. So if you're flying, you're starting in another country outside of South Africa, then you can't buy the travel insurance effectively.
Oh, so you've got to start here, go to somewhere else, and come back.
Exactly. It's not a replacement if you live somewhere else to cover your medical insurance.
Right.
South Africans leaving South Africa and coming back to South Africa.
Yeah. And then Jolene says, if SAA is bankrupt, how are they affording to service the planes? Is it a genuine risk to fly with them until things settle down? I'm not sure if you're equipped to answer.
You're probably not.
I mean, you're good, but just not that good.
I could venture a guess, but I wouldn't.
We're talking about SAA. We're talking about travel insurance in general. Here's an interesting question, Danny, for you. Some years ago, I was flying to New York City on a Thursday night, and the flight turned back due to engine trouble. The plane left again on Friday morning, but I couldn't take it as it was arriving in New York on Shabbat. The travel insurance would not pay any related claim. Your view?
Great question. So what I said before is you get the travel insurance light and you get the full up, top up travel insurance, which covers a lot more.
Is this guy a schnorrer? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not at all, but I'm saying he probably wouldn't have known because he bought through the bank and he wouldn't have got his terms and conditions.
Right.
So the travel insurance light does give you cancellation cover, but it's much more restricted cancellation cover. It's enforced. It's something where if you can mitigate, you have to mitigate. Whereas if you buy the proper full travel insurance, they give you cancellation for what we call for any reason. So, and obviously it's got to be a legitimate reason. You can't just say, I woke up this morning, decide I'm going to change my mind, obviously.
Yeah.
But would be a legitimate reason because the person's a religious person. And, as I say, cancellation for any reason is quite a wide cover.
Mm.
So that's why we often urge people that if they do just take the embedded cover again, please check the terms and conditions carefully.
What's interesting is I wonder if this happened today. He says it was full cover. And he's calling me rude names because I called him a schnorrer. But that's beside the point. I would imagine if this type of thing happened today, I don't know exactly how long ago this was, but if this happened today with social media, I would imagine that somebody persecuted financially through no fault of their own because the airline did turn back and they're only offering them a flight that will make them compromise their religion. The optics are very poor for an insurance company, which means maybe they wouldn't pay it.
And it depends on the cancellation cover again. So as I say,
stop being so legal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about.
But if you're saying cancellation for any reason, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's a legitimate reason.
Right. Fair enough.
It's not that person woke up one day on the, and also with insurance companies, sometimes I often say you've got to be a little bit assertive. I often equate insurance companies to the state of Israel because they've have to put on all these extra security because unfortunately they've had bad experiences with people in the past. But in Israel as well, you've got to be a little bit assertive. You can't just take it. So if you know, the insurance company may take an approach to say, well, we don't believe
according to the strict letter of the,
but you've got to you've got to carry on because today we have what we call treat the customer fairly and everyone's got all these complaint services now. And so, as you say, it could have been some time ago when they were being a lot more technical.
And they weren't as nervous, perhaps, about social media.
100%.
Which has changed the industry fairly. Just to move on a little bit, people are going away now. It's that time of year, and it is a bit of a strange and murky area. What do we need to do ahead of going away with regard to insurance?
Yeah, so we're going into the silly season. People, a lot of opportunists around at the moment. People know you're going away. Don't show that you're going away. But if you do go away, obviously check your policy because the chances are you'll have an alarm warranty on your policy to say if your premises is unoccupied, you have to set the alarm. So just make sure that your battery on your alarm is properly working. And that you do put the alarm on when you leave. Number one. Number two, obviously a lot of people are driving, with a few drinks in them at this time of the year. They're not working. They have functions, etc. If you get caught over the limit, insurance won't pay whether the accident is your fault or it's not your fault. So it's important.
Say that again.
That.
So even if I'm driving slowly, somebody rear ends me, it's their fault.
The police often test, especially at this time of the year, will test both drivers because if they come to an accident scene, they'll test both drivers. If you're caught to be and that could be two beers or two whiskeys, literally, you're over the limit because they'll breathalyze you. insurance company won't pay you.
Do you know, as a matter of interest, what that limit is?
So it's not what they call 0.04.
See, but then I don't understand. I'm so bad at numbers.
So it often, unfortunately, depends on how big you are, weight, size.
Oh, so I can have quite a few.
So you may be able to have one more beer,
careful,
potentially.
Careful, I don't like beer.
For me, it will be 1 tequila, but it will
right,
be that.
Right, exactly.
So, but it, so you've got to be careful. I mean, don't take a chance on that kind of thing. The vehicle's expensive.
But do you think it's safe in general to have to legally? I'm not talking about your own reaction to it, but to be sure. To have one because my policy is always one of something, no matter what it is. So if it's one glass of wine, or one whiskey, or one beer, etc.
Yeah, so that's a risky policy because
is it a risky policy?
So
I would have thought one anything is fairly safe.
So again, so as I said, because it depends on your
on
makeup.
The person, right.
So if you're having wine, you're having beer, that's pretty safe. But if you're having spirits, then that becomes more tricky because the breathalyzers are very sensitive that they use today. And even if you can't use it, because it's been overthrown in criminal court quite often, the breathalyzer, but for insurance companies, when they reject a claim, they don't have the same, what we call onus of proof as a criminal case would have, where it's beyond reasonable doubt. Insurance companies have to prove it on beyond reasonable, on balance of probabilities, which is a much lower onus of proof. So if they have a breathalyzer result, even if they have a policeman who comes to the scene and said the person was unsteady on his feet, he looked like he was under the influence of alcohol, that creates issues as well. My advice would be, if you're going to drive, don't touch alcohol.
Yeah, no, I think that is, and also, is very sensible.
Yeah, and also insurance policies, if you check them carefully, they actually offer a service. Both your bank and your insurance company offers a service 6 or 12 times a year called the Take Me Home service. So you phone that toll-free line and literally they'll come and take you home.
Look, if you can afford a car, you can afford a trip on an Uber.
That's right. That's the other option.
I mean, today it's very simple. I always think back, in the early 2000s or whenever it was, when we would have a work function, especially this time, and the guys would drink and they would drive, and then we would try and push them no, and we'd organize things. Mm. But the reality is today, most people accept that you don't drive.
Yeah.
And you can just enjoy yourself.
And you don't realize the ramifications, because even if you've got a cheap car, you drive into the back of a Ferrari.
Yeah,
and you don't have
covered.
Insurance cover. It can ruin your life.
That is scary. It is 8:29. Before I let you go, anything else that you think is important for us, for our listeners to know from an insurance perspective?
So as I said, all insurance offer this value-added product service that they call with a toll-free number. If you break down on the side of the road, you call them. If you go on holiday as well, you get generally what they call cover, that which is out of the house. So even if you go on holiday and you take your clothes, insurance policies normally do cover that. But normally where there's a forced and violent entry clause, so just make sure you look after your stuff. If you break down on the side of the road, have that toll-free number of the insurance there. They'll send somebody to come and pick you up. They sort the car out if necessary. So just have a safe time, and also watch the opportunists. So people on the beaches, people at shopping malls, this is the time of the year where criminals strike. So from that point of view, we see a lot of claims in January that come in from pickpocketing, cell phone theft.
Before I let you go, one question on that is how quickly do we need to let the insurance company know? So let's say I'm away and I get notification that there might have been something at the house. I'm not able to assess it fully,
So your policy says 30 days, but generally it's an accepted principle in insurance law. Now, if the insurance company is not prejudiced, you actually have up to a year to report the claim. Mm. They'll be prejudiced in the case if your geyser bursts and it starts flooding your house and you say, after 6 months, I'll only tell them.
Right. No, of course.
And the carpets rot. So there's also always a clause as well that you must take all precautions to try and not let the loss get worse. So if your house is flooding, you must try and tell them as soon as possible so they can come. But if you lost a ring or you lost a cell phone, whether you tell them now or in 30 days' time, it doesn't really make any difference. They'll replace it then.
Right.
So you've got the 30 days clause, generally.
Absolutely, Daniel Joffe. Thank you for your input, for your invaluable input. And,
it's a pleasure. And be safe over this period. That's the main thing.
Absolutely. And keep those claims as low as possible, he says.